This episode is brought to you by the Journal Sapir, a favorite of business leaders, policymakers, and philanthropists. Edited by Brett Stevens. Join the conversation at Sapir, S-A-P-I-R, journal.org.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, January 30th. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal. You've heard the saying, time is money. Well, whoever came up with that phrase might have been onto something, because managing time properly can help us be smarter at managing money.
Maybe if we start thinking about time as something to invest, rather than to just spend, we'll start allocating it towards things that are just more closely linked with long-term happiness.
Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker has been talking to researchers who've been studying the intersection of time and money and understanding the value of both. We'll hear from him after the break.
Not running your business on NetSuite is like trying to sink a putt with a cap pulled over your eyes. NetSuite by Oracle is the number one cloud financial system, giving you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, budgeting, and more, all in one place. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 32,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Time is precious, but are you investing in your time the way you would invest your money? It turns out time, like money, can be allocated to build wealth and happiness in the years to come. Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker wrote about this, and he's here to talk about it. Hey, Joe, thank you for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So, you know, Joe, time is a precious commodity for people, and this topic reminds me of hearing people say things like, you know, don't waste my time.
It's something that's been around for a long time. People have been anxious about misusing the limited time they have on Earth for quite a while now. I was in touch with a lexicographer named Corey Stamper, who pointed me to one of the early examples of a poem that combined the verb spend with the word time. And the line from it now translates to something like, the lifetime that I've been lent in idleness I have spent. So people have been feeling guilty about this for quite a while. And that poem goes back to the 14th century.
Oh, it's like I'm getting an English lit lesson along with hosting a podcast.
A middle English lesson, to be precise.
All right, so let's fast forward. You've been speaking with researchers who are studying how we use our time might help us in being smarter with money. Why is that significant?
Yeah, when we think about time as one of our big, important, but very scarce resources, people are, in a way, born rich with time and then spend down their fortune of it as they progress through life. And time, unlike money, isn't going to grow over the course of your lifetime. But there are ways to try to get time to pay out a similar kind of interest over time. When we think about what we do with time, the verb that we usually use is spend. And what I wanted to do in my article is think about what it would mean if we applied a different verb. And there were some researchers I was in touch with who study time and happiness. And they think that if we think of time as something to invest rather than just spend, that might help us use our precious hours to build up a wealth and fortune of fulfillment and meaning that would sustain us for the rest of our lives.
So how would that be beneficial to people?
Well, one way to think about this is that if you start thinking of time as an investment and something that pays dividends down the line, it can shift your perspective to start thinking much longer term. There's one recent study I came across while researching this story that indicates that people who think about the time they have over longer periods, so if you're thinking about time in terms of years or a lifetime, those people tend to be happier day to day and also just more satisfied with their life in general. And so maybe if we start thinking about time as something to invest, rather than to just spend, we'll start allocating it towards things that are just more closely linked with long-term happiness.
Now that sounds like something we talk about a lot on the show. You know, the importance of building up long-term savings, like a retirement account.
Absolutely. You want to make sure that you've invested time properly over the course of decades so that later in life, you don't look back on it and regret not allocating your time more wisely. One researcher I spoke with, Hal Hirschfield at UCLA, he specializes in thinking about how we conceptualize our future selves. And he brought up an example of this from his own life. He said that recently he had a few open days on his calendar and was faced with the decision of either spending that time working or traveling to go see his grandmother, who's 99. And thinking about this dilemma from the perspective of his future self actually made the decision to spend time with family a lot easier.
Okay, so it's seeing what the value of something might be through a long-range lens.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a matter of putting yourself in the shoes of your future self.
All right, so let's talk about the intersection of time investment and money investment. How do they relate to each other?
Yeah, when we think about investing money, we often think about the idea that you have to tie up your present resources in exchange for future gains. And one thing that was pointed out to me by Cassie Holmes, another researcher at UCLA, is that time has a unique advantage in terms of being something to invest, because it not only pays out dividends later, but if you invest your time wisely, you'll often enjoy what you're doing in the moment as well.
So how can people take on this challenge, you know, to better invest in their time?
One tip that Professor Holmes suggested to me is that people figure out what investments are really important to them and block off time on their calendar in advance in order to make sure that they really invest in those things. You're almost scheduling these things just as you would a business meeting. So some examples, for instance, in Professor Holmes's own life, the investments that she wants to make on a weekly basis are making sure that she has time for a couple runs in the morning, she has time for a date night with her husband, and going to a coffee shop with her daughter. And so she schedules these investments in advance, just like a business meeting, to make sure that she does them. And those are her specific examples. But an important task for anybody is to figure out which activities are going to be the best investments and deliver the highest return for you. Those are things that you can figure out yourself. But some studies have found that some reliably gratifying ways to use your time involve deepening social connections, getting some exercise, and getting absorbed in meaningful work. I can imagine someone who's busy listening to this and saying that they don't have time for things like this. But Professor Holmes says that even the most time-crunched people can benefit from thinking of time as something to invest. And the reason that is that even small time commitments can compound. In her own life, for instance, she goes to a coffee shop with her daughter once a week, and that trip, that visit is only about 30 minutes a week. But she says that the 30 minutes compounds week to week and grows into something larger and much more meaningful over a long period of time.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker. Joe, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks. I had a nice time.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.